issue.
This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Has been good to you. I just cannot tell it all. Listen, he hears me every time I call, and he'll catch me when I'm just about to fall. He'll pick you up, he'll turn you around. Let me tell you what he'll do. He'll place your feet on solid ground.
Tell it,
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 Tell it, on Thursday, Friday, tell it Saturday, in your home, tell it on your job, tell it on school, tell it, tell it, tell it out in the choir, tell it, tell it, tell it on the usher board, tell it, tell it, in the pulpit, tell it what God done for you. You ought to tell it how God brought you through. Anybody here? When you tell it what God in the head, when you tell it how God set you free, how God
stand all over this place. Thank you, choir. Thank you, musicians. That song takes me back to Sister Hewlett. I'll tell it. Amen. Everywhere he blesses me to go. In the book of Acts, chapter 15, we want to call your attention to verses 36 through 41, Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 41. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege, and we pray, God, that you will speak your word into the hearts and minds of your people, a word, God, that will remind us that you are God, and you're God all by yourself. We thank you now and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 41. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Yes, and I want to talk this morning from the subject, the danger of being right. All right. The danger of being right. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Here in the closing verses of chapter 15, we have a rather sad and disappointing commentary on two of God's greatest men. These men somehow allowed themselves to be so consumed by their own rightness that it fractured their friendship and fellowship. Those of you who read your Bible are familiar with this passage. As a matter of fact, those of you who were with us on Friday night ought to have received the opening hints of this scenario when we raised the question, where was Barnabas? Paul and Barnabas had completed their first missionary journey, and now they have gathered for a planning session. They were preparing for the second journey, and it was in this staff meeting, this planning session, that this awful dispute arose. The Bible says that this dispute became such a bone of contention until it literally tore their fellowship apart. And the Bible says they walked together no more. Let me put a footnote here, and let me get y'all to turn all the other mics off. Amen. Let me put a footnote here and say this. Satan majors in breaking up teams. He's a master at it. Amen.
right here in chapter 15, he broke up what could be looked upon as the greatest team ever assembled for the Lord Jesus Christ. He broke up Barnabas and Paul, the A team, if you will. He broke up goodness and greatness. The Bible eulogizes Paul as great and Barnabas as good. Satan broke up goodness and greatness. Don't fool yourself into thinking that he won't break up your team. Amen. And I want to talk to ministry leaders. I want to talk to all of us at Pleasant Hill. Amen. We've got to be mindful of the fact that the devil majors in breaking up teams. He almost gained a great victory when he broke up Barnabas and Paul. Can you imagine how often these men preached together from city to city? Barnabas, the day preacher, Paul, the night preacher. Satan broke up goodness and greatness. Now, that tells me, my brothers and sisters, that if you're not careful, he will break up your team. Now, the shocking thing in this text is that they didn't break up because of anything of eternal significance. They didn't break up because of a doctrinal matter. They did not break up defending the honor of Christ. They did not break up over scriptural truth. They didn't break up because of anything of eternal value. They broke up because they couldn't agree on a personal preference. And do you know what? We act just like that. Amen. We will split up and separate over things that have no eternal value. We split and get upset about what color robes is we going to wear. We'll split up over whether we ought to wear gloves or not. Amen. We will split up over how many chairs are supposed to be in a room. We don't break up over who's going to be defending the honor of Christ. We break up over who's going to be president, who's going to be the director, who's going to lead this or who's going to lead that. We break up over who's going to hold this office or that office. You remember that back in chapter 13 of the same book, on their first missionary journey, they had taken this young preacher boy named John Mark. He was a young preacher, just getting started, and here he was traveling with the good Barnabas and the great Paul. But when things got hot, the Bible lets us know that John Mark put in his resignation. He went back home to Jerusalem to his mama's house. And so when they began to discuss in the business meeting about who was going to conduct the next missionary journey, Barnabas recommended that Brother John Mark be included. And at that point, Paul stood up and said, oh, no, no, sir, bro, pastor, no, sir, bro, chairman, no, sir, brother, moderator. Amen. This turned out to be a bitter disagreement between these two men, Paul and Barnabas. As a matter of fact, it got so bad until the Bible says that their relationship was rent asunder. Y'all do remember that passage, and we use it in weddings and what have you, but it says, what God has joined together, let man not put asunder. Amen. Paul and Barnabas had a big argument. Now, who is in the right and who is in the wrong? That's the question of the hour. Who's right and who was wrong? Amen. There's a meme that I saw on Facebook, and I love it. I love it so much that I memorized it. It says that pride is concerned with who is right. Humility is concerned with what is right. Oh, I love that. I love that. Amen. Amen. Well, who's right and who's wrong? Well, I'm convinced that they were both right and they were both wrong. Let's look at Paul's position. Paul was right in his head. Let me hear y'all say in his head. Raw intellect falls on the side of Paul. He was right in his head because he recognized, amen, the master. He recognized what the master recognized when Jesus said that any man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back ain't fit for the kingdom. So he was right in his head because he recognized that a coward would get everybody killed. Where are my military folk? Amen. Amen. A scared man to get everybody killed. He was right in his head because he recognized that the race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but to those who are willing to endure until the end. He was right in his head. The Bible says that Paul was on his way back to strengthen and confirm the churches. And so Paul's argument was that John Mark can't go because he did exactly what I'm going to be preaching against. Amen. I'm going to be up preaching to the converts about sticking to the faith. I'm going to be standing up preaching to folk about standing your ground in the midst of opposition. I'm going to be preaching about being strong in the Lord and the power of his might to endure hardness like a good soldier. And while I'm up preaching, telling everybody to hang in there, somebody's going to say, well, Reverend Paul, we hear you, but ain't that John Mark sitting up there with you? Isn't he the one who ran away the last time? So Paul concludes, I just cannot take John Mark. I can't have a staff that will break in my hand. I need somebody. Paul said, I need somebody who's totally committed. I need somebody who like me, who's willing to die with me for the sake of the gospel. So Paul was right in his head. But Barnabas was right also. Paul was right in his head, but Barnabas was right in his heart. Sensitivity and sentiment was on the side of Barnabas. For just about all of us can get sentimental about giving a young man a second chance, giving a young lady a second chance. So Paul was right in his head, but y'all, Barnabas was right in his heart. As a matter of fact, his name means son of consolation. He believed in giving people a chance and a second chance and another chance. Is there anybody glad that we serve that kind of God? Amen. The fact of the matter is that it was Barnabas who put his own life in danger to help Paul join the church. Y'all remember back on the Damascus Road, don't you? Paul gave his life to Christ. Then he tried to join the church. He was tested and examined, but the folks still didn't believe. Nah, we don't want Paul. Paul was the one going around persecuting Christians. We don't want him in this here church. Amen. 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 But thank God Barnabas stood up for Brother Paul and got him in the church. They were still afraid of Paul because of his reputation as a persecutor of the church. And so it was Barnabas who stood up on his behalf. He stood between a converted Saul and a scared church. He said, this man is no longer persecuting Saul. This is now praying Paul. Is there anybody in here glad that you had somebody to stand up for you? I would venture to say that we've all been in situations and circumstances, amen, where if it hadn't been for somebody who was willing to step out on the ledge, I know I'm grateful. I know I'm thankful that there have been times in my life when I messed up, when I did the wrong thing. But praise God, today there were folk who were willing to stand up and say, Pastor, we're with you. We got your back. Everybody makes mistakes. Thank God for another chance. I need some folk in here to give God a praise for another chance, another chance, another chance. And so Barnabas said, this is no longer persecuting Saul. This is now praying Paul. This is no longer the student of Gamaliel. This is a servant of the Lord. And so here we have Barnabas arguing with the man he gave a chance, trying to compel him to give another man a chance. Can you hear him saying to Paul? Paul, you ought to give him another chance. I know he failed the test. I know he ran away. He ran from the challenge in a time of crisis, but we ought to give him another chance. He didn't deny the faith. He just got scared and went home to mama. Amen. You can understand that a young preacher will be frightened, especially when his life is in danger. Paul, we ought to give him another chance. But Paul said no. So they argued back and forth. Neither man would give in. The Bible says that the contention was so sharp between them that they had to part company. Now, let's look at their sin. Paul was right in his head, Barnabas was right in his heart, but they were both wrong as it relates to their will, the sin of self-will. Y'all, I'm standing here as pastor, and I have counseled folk in marital counseling. I have seen marriages split because neither party was willing to admit, amen, that we're wrong. Amen, amen. I've seen families torn apart. Y'all, at funerals and stuff, y'all, you want to see folk cut up? And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. Don't let it get to a situation where mama left a little some or daddy left folk. I'm talking about families. Amen. Folk won't talk to each other anymore because of contention. But there is a sin involved here. Yes, great Paul and good Barnabas, they sinned. They were guilty of the sin of stubbornness. Sins of commission. That's when we do what we should not have done. I committed a sin. But then there are sins of omission. That's when I don't do what I'm supposed to do. But there's another sin, and this is the sin we're talking about here with Paul and Barnabas, the sin of disposition. That's when, because a lot of times we do the right thing, but with the bad attitude. And I need to tell you today that if you know you think you ought to get a star on your report card because you did the right thing, but if you did it with the ugly, nasty, hateful, evil attitude, God don't want no part of it. How many folk in the church are like that? Stubborn, determined to have their own way. They get so caught up in their own concerns that they lose sight of the larger concern. They get caught up in their own little picture and somehow miss the big picture altogether. So many times groups in the church get so caught up in themselves that they lose sight of the vision of the whole church. That's what happened to Barnabas and Paul. They lost sight of the bigger picture and the higher cause that the world should be evangelized, that there are lost folk who need to be saved. They got so consumed with their own will that they forgot that there are people who are dying and on their way to hell. They got so caught up in trying to be right and I'm right and you're wrong that they missed the picture that even in their own homes there are children, there are spouses who would be saved if they would get off of their high horses, humble themselves before a holy God and just say, right or wrong, I'm gonna love you, my brother. Right or wrong, I'm gonna love you, my sister, because this is bigger than me. The devil's strategy, and I'm finished. He's cunning, he's slick, he's tricky. You have to learn his method of operation before you can learn how to deal with him. We run around here talking about Satan, we're gonna tear your kingdom down, and we don't even know anything about how he operates. The devil works in a number of ways. Sometimes he influences us to choose that which is obviously wrong over that which is obviously right. He works like that sometimes. But most of the time, he doesn't even use that plan because we can pick that up real quick, the obvious right over and against the obvious wrong. Here's the tricky way he influences us. He will allow me to be right and you to be right. And what will happen is that we will find ourselves both right but running on parallel tracks. Running on parallel tracks is when we both are running in the same direction, but we ain't running together. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. I didn't come to Hoop and Holler this morning. I came to talk about some stuff, some sores that are even in our church. Amen, amen. And you would be amazed how a little sore in the church can spread and contaminate the whole body. Amen. Sister Davis said that one of the problems she had while she was in the hospital, she had pneumonia, and it had gotten all in her bloodstream, and she had something called sepsis. And sepsis is when an infection invades your body to the degree degree that your body is unable to fight it. And I've come by Pleasant Hill this Sunday morning to tell us, make sure that your situation ain't the sore on the body that will cause the whole body to die. Make sure that your issue ain't the issue that will cause all of us to end up in. I come by to tell us today that, yeah, you may be right and you may be wrong, but whatever it is, at the end of the day, focus on the bigger picture. Running on parallel tracks, going in the same direction, but not together. You're on the one side, I'm on the other side. When Satan tricks us like this, it's not always easy to deal with, because we forget that even though we are right like Barnabas and Paul, we are wrong in our disposition. Satan will blind us to the wrong that is running side by side with our right. It creates all kinds of problems when you're trying to do your right and I'm trying to do my right, but we do it with wrong attitudes. When two people have good ideas but bad attitudes, it will cause dissension. It can ruin the fellowship of a whole church. You see, Satan knows. I said he knows how to destroy unity and fellowship. It's his aim to minimize the witness of the saints. It's his aim to stop folk from seeking the bread of life among our fellowship. Now, if you want a man to act a fool, let him discover that he's right. Some folk will act worse when they know they are right than when they know they are wrong. Some of the best cussings I've ever gotten have been from folk who thought they were right. I'm talking about march right into the pastor's study. Amen, amen. Bible on my desk, and they cuss all over the Bible because they feel like they were right. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. And folk will tear stuff up, amen, when they think they're right. I'm right, and I'm right, amen. What we do is mishandle our rightness to the point where we end up wrong. That's what happened. That's what happened with Paul and Barnabas. Satan had allowed both of them to be right, but he blinded them to their wrong disposition, their bad attitude. And y'all, whenever we carry things to the extreme, I've come by to tell you, it becomes a sin. Whenever you carry anything to the extreme, it becomes sin. Virtue carried to the extreme becomes a vice. Assets carried to the extreme becomes a liability. Thriftiness carried to the extreme becomes stinginess. Firmness carried to the extreme becomes stubbornness. Tolerance carried to the extreme becomes immorality. Mercy carried to the extreme becomes weakness. Self-appreciation carried to the extreme becomes arrogance and pride. Virtues can become vices. That's what happened to Paul and Barnabas. They were both right, but they carried their rightness to the extreme, and it became sin. And now, as I hurry to a close, let me share these last points with you. First, good men are not infallible.